Hi everyone, welcome back for another episode of the Halloween Countdown. Thank you so much for being patient about my little reschedule last week. The Creatures and Cryptids episode will happen, but I did not know we had so many in Canada, so that needs a little more time for sure. As always, thank you so much to the listeners who are back again, and if this is your first time, welcome, and I hope you enjoy. So today's episode is all about ghost towns or abandoned locations in Canada. Some of them are not towns. There are some really cool places here, and some are thought to be haunted, some are not, but as we talked about last Halloween with BC ghost towns, I think just walking around a place that's been abandoned and especially being reclaimed by nature is just kind of creepy in its own right. So let's get into today's episode, and don't forget to enter to win one of the three prize packs. There is some amazing swag up for grabs, so be sure to check that out today. So the first place I want to talk about is called Trinity Loop in Newfoundland. This once amusement park is a really cool example of nature reclaiming its rightful place. I love this one especially because there are so many degrees of abandoned locations. Some there are only foundations left, and others are almost pristine. And for those of you who have listened before, you know how much I love Kitsault in BC. So this is one of those places that still has a lot left. Mini golf course, Ferris wheel, and of course the looping train track that we're going to be talking about. So let's go back in time and find out how this all started. So for decades, we know the railroad was king. It was the main source of travel for people and for goods. Newfoundland Railway was vital to the island that eventually joined up with other lines to connect people with more areas along the coast. One area is a place called Bonavista Peninsula, which is a large peninsula on the east coast of the island. Designing the railway was really easy for the most part. The terrain was mostly low and didn't really see much changes in elevation. That is, however, until they came to the town of Trinity, which is nestled in the center of steep hills. So the solution was to loop around a nearby pond and lower the tracks gradually to reach the town. This was really innovative and unique to Newfoundland. The tracks rotated 310 degrees and dropped 10.3 meters gradually, remember. The loop was in use from 1911 to 1984, when the Terra Transport Company closed this line. The original plan was to dismantle the tracks and just sell them for scrap. But thankfully, a group of local politicians convinced them to hand the tracks over to the town of Trinity. A man named Francis Kelly then bought the land and made it into an amusement park that ran until its shutdown in 2004. So that's quite a good run for a little amusement park. There were boat rides, a train ride around the loop, a little museum, rides, and even accommodations. Now, tragedy hit the abandoned park in 2010 when Hurricane Igor washed away almost 100 feet of the tracks. Also, of course, it brought in sediment, rocks, and debris into the park. Though some argue it only added to the creepy aesthetic. It's really become a nostalgic thing for locals who would love to see it up and running again. Of course, there are some that think it should just be dismantled, but this is a really cool place. So I'll have directions to the location up on the blog along with images, and I think you guys will really enjoy it. I haven't heard of any hauntings or paranormal experiences here, but it's just a neat place and would definitely be a bit eerie at the right time of day. And of course, if you're exploring, make sure it's not private property, be respectful, and be careful. This next location is my favorite, I think, in a long time. Because what's cooler than a large abandoned place? A whole island that's abandoned, containing the following: 3 military forts, a cholera quarantine potter's field, which, if you're like me, I did not know what that meant. It is a mass grave for either epidemics where they need to quarantine a mass amount of bodies, or it would be a mass grave sort of situation for those who couldn't afford proper burials. There are ruins of family homes, a family burial plot, a former pop factory that apparently also ran a bootleg operation during Prohibition, which is badass, a beach where redcoats hung deserters during the Napoleonic Wars, a lighthouse, and an old Edwardian fairground. So what is this place? This is McNab Island in Halifax Harbor, Nova Scotia. So this is like a feast for the senses. If you like abandoned places, this is a must-see. And the best part is, you can go there. Yes. So talk about an amazing place, packed with all kinds of history. Let's start in 1749, when Halifax was founded. This place was actually originally named Cornwallis Island. In the 1780s, it would be purchased by Peter McNab, and his descendants would remain on the island until the 1930s. In the 1860s, portions of the island were purchased from the family for military purposes and would see the building of the Ives Point Battery and Fort McNab. The island, aside from this area, was used as a recreational destination for many people living in Halifax. They would often come to the island for picnics and community socials, and there was even a fairground until the 1920s when it was moved off the island. I actually don't think there are many remnants from the fairground, certainly not anything large, so keep that in mind. During World War I and World War II, the island was primarily under military control, as the location was essential to monitoring and protecting Halifax Harbor. In 1866, a ship traveling from England to New York with 1,200 passengers found itself in the middle of a cholera outbreak. With many passengers as well as crew suffering from the illness, they sought refuge in Halifax. Now, having dealt with cholera outbreaks in 1834 and 1854, Halifax was well aware of the potential loss of life if this illness were to spread in the city. So they ordered the boat to dock at McNab Island, where the sick passengers were transferred to another ship, and the ones that appeared healthy were transferred to buildings that housed some of the island's workers. They were actually in the process of building Fort McNab. It was decided that the dead would be buried at the far south point of the island, and more graves were dug a little further inland as well. It's believed that roughly 200 people were buried on McNab from this incident. Not all remain, however, as over time, the bodies that were buried at Little Thrum Cap, as it was known, were washed into the water. Not only were people dying from cholera, but the conditions for those healthy passengers were dire, to say the least. There was limited food and space for shelter. The City Health Office and Provincial Secretary wrote that more people were dying of starvation during this time. So this is where I'll talk about the first paranormal claims. Though I'm sure you already saw this coming, but there have been common reports of an unknown man, described as very short and transparent, and has been seen many times by people visiting McNab. The reason I put this in with the talk of the cholera burial is because it's very possible he was one of the people who passed away in this incident. He's not noted as being dressed like a soldier or resembling one of the McNab family members. So it's very possible maybe he was one of these poor people that was suffering from this illness or died of starvation. So I'm sure for those who are sensitive, going to this island, and especially the location of this mass grave, probably holds a lot of intense energy. Now, the next really cool location on this island is the factory that operated on the island before and during Prohibition, the A.J. Davis Soda Pop Factory. His summer house is still standing and actually in pretty good condition, it looks like. The cool thing about this place is that during Prohibition, it's rumored that they made a special pop called Pure McNab that was definitely not for kids, if you catch my drift. The next location is known as Hangman's Beach, and this is the most gruesome, I think. This is where redcoats would hang deserters to warn others who might be considering deserting as well. So I wasn't able to track down specific stories, but there are definitely rumors of people seeing spirits around this area. So this is an island of graveyards. the cholera burials. There's also a private graveyard for the McNabb family, which is fenced in and looks in amazing condition. You can read most of the headstones, which is really neat, especially because a lot of these graves are early 1800s. It's also widely believed that Peter McNabb himself roams the island. One article mentioned that he was headless. I did not see anything that talked about his death, and certainly nothing that talked about him being decapitated. So I'm not sure if that part is true. Maybe there's a headless spirit that wanders McNabb Island, but I don't think it's Peter McNabb. So if you know, please let me know. There is one other graveyard that I want to talk about. This is a ship graveyard on one side of the island referred to as Wreck Cove. It has more than 40 shipwreck skeletons on the shore as well as embedded into the ocean floor. Now, of course, there were shipwrecks, there were deaths associated, but many of the ships were actually brought there to be abandoned. There are strict laws in regards to sinking a ship, but the island provided the perfect place to abandon a ship and flee. The photos are really cool, of course, and I will have that up on the blog for you to see. There are so many stories in regards to this island of hearing sounds of the past, and this is something that I absolutely expect from a place like this. Sounds from the military operations and just the families that lived there and died there, and I'm sure leaving their mark in the ground, in the rocks, in the water. There are also sightings of a sea serpent. And I've seen multiple things about people seeing a ghoulish horse and carriage, which sounds incredible. So this place is amazing and now one of my top places on my list. The island is accessible by boat and is usually about $20 a person. There are tours, but I believe you can also just go by private boat and just basically explore on your own. So I will have all of the links and information available for you if you would like to check this amazing place out. And if you do, please send pictures. I really want to see. This is such a cool location and just full of amazing places to explore. This October, our friends over at The Haunted Walk are inviting you to take part in a massive paranormal experiment. The Haunting at Home is an online interactive audio experience you can do in your own home, apartment, or creepy cabin in the woods. This ghostly adventure will challenge you to conduct a series of paranormal experiments in the dark. It's the perfect night of spooky fun if you love ghost stories or enjoy the thrill of trying to contact the other side. So grab a group of friends and follow the program. Will you make it to the end or will you have to pull the safety hatch? I had the pleasure of testing this out earlier this week and I did end up pulling the safety hatch, but the best thing about this is that you have an unlimited access for 90 days. So you can try and try again. I highly recommend this as something to do this spooky season. It's $34.99 and if you use the promo code REALSCARY, R-E-A-L, S-C-A-R-Y, you will get 20% off. Simply visit hauntedwalk.com/thehaunting and click buy now. Out of the first 36 experiments conducted last month, 86% of groups experienced activity and 14% had to use the safety hatch. You might be thinking, well, my house isn't haunted. It doesn't have to be. All you need is a quiet place, a few other supplies, and an open mind. Will you connect with a spirit, or will your imagination simply get the best of you? Happy haunting, everyone! The next place I want to talk about is Cooper's Falls in Ontario. So this place is named for its first settler, Thomas James Cooper. In 1864, he and his wife Emma and their three children immigrated from England and basically chose a spot to build their homestead. Now, a little tidbit about this couple is that they were almost like a real-life Romeo and Juliet. Emma was the daughter of a very wealthy family, and Thomas was the son of a butcher. Once they were married, her family disowned her and would supposedly cross the street if they saw her coming, which is really sad. Once their kids were born, they decided to find a place where they wouldn't have to live in this misery anymore. So they found their place in Ontario and built a home and general store. And by 1876, the first post office opened with the name Cooper's Falls. The town eventually added a schoolhouse, blacksmith, cheese factory, two churches, and a lumber mill. The lumber industry really helped sustain the town for years to come. Thomas Cooper's hope for his town was that his inhabitants would live honest, clean lives. So he was clearly very on board for Prohibition. And even though logging brought them prosperity, he was very upset when loggers from nearby camps would drunkenly venture into town. And this reminds me of a little tidbit that I learned about one of my ancestors when I was doing my family's genealogy. So he was one of the founding members of a town in the United States who seemed like he was kind of a drunken mess. He received a few court cases against him for smoking where he shouldn't, to which he walked in, paid his fine, and then lit up a new cigarette. So there was also another citation for rude remarks to another townsperson. And finally, he sadly met his end one night when he was drunkenly stumbling home and fell off a cliff. So that was interesting. So the drunken loggers just kind of reminded me of him, but anyway, one day maybe I'll tell you the story about my ancestors and their involvement in a witch trial, but that is a story for another day. Now back to Cooper's Falls. The Coopers would end up being married for 50 years and having 9 children. Their descendants remained in the town for years, and apparently some actually still might live there. But as the surrounding woods were depleted by the lumber industry, the town would of course decline as so many did in this time. The post office was eventually closed in 1968, but supposedly there are about 14 people remaining here to this day. I really like this location because just like McNabb Island, there are some amazing buildings still remaining here. It's also stunningly beautiful. Right near waterfalls, beside a beautiful river, and it looks like a gorgeous place to go in the fall. The blacksmith shop, general store, and some remains of old houses and even vehicles are still around. So remember, if you're going to go here, that there are people who still live here. So be respectful of that, but it does make for some really cool exploring. I'll of course have photos for you to look at and directions if you want to check it out. Now, the last place I'm going to talk about is an old resort town called Minnewanka Landing. This is located at Lake Minnewanka in Alberta. So I like ghost towns that are challenging, if you'll remember Ocean Falls from my BC Ghost Towns episode. So if you want to see the remains of this incredible ghost town, you have to strap on some scuba gear because it is actually located 18 meters or about 60 feet below the surface of this beautiful lake. The resort town was built on Minnewanka Lake shores in 1888. There were cottages, hotels, restaurants, and even boats to ferry guests around the lake. So all was good until about 1912, when the growing need for hydropower brought a dam into the area. This raised the water some, but when a second dam was built in 1941, the water rose about 100 feet. This completely covered the town and the bridge leading to it. It has since become a favorite place for divers to venture, and there are some amazing videos and images that have been taken down there. I will link some. There's so many, I feel like, on YouTube. If you look, people strap on their GoPros and go down there, and it's amazing. The lake itself is stunning and worth a visit on its own. But like I said, if you are willing to dive down there, it is definitely going to be a unique experience. You can still see the remnants of the hotel, cabins with windows intact, bridge pilings, tracks from where they used to load and unload boats on the 1912 shore. This is really an amazing gem for those who love ghost towns. There are so many ghost towns to explore. And of course, if you have any suggestions, please let me know. I already have a list going for my next ghost towns episode, and hopefully I'll be able to fit it in before the end of the year. Thank you so much for listening. The next two episodes coming down the pipe are part 1 and 2 of Histories and Mysteries with my favorite guest host, Brianne. And we're going to be talking mainly about haunted objects. So you're going to get to hear what I think are two of the most terrifyingly haunted objects in the world. No, I'm not talking about Annabelle. I'm not talking about the Dybbuk box. I think you'll be surprised. I had never heard of these before, and kind of wish I hadn't heard of the one because it's terrifying. We actually had technical issues, and I blame that one object for not wanting to be talked about. So make sure to tune in, and I would highly recommend that if you do listen with a child, I'm going to say younger than 12 for sure, you might want to skip that one. And also, even just for yourself, if you are prone to nightmares, you may not want to listen. So don't forget to check out Facebook and Instagram at Real Scary Podcast. You can also email me at realscarypodcast@gmail.com. Also check out the blog for realscarypodcast.ca. And that way you can see the pictures of these amazing locations. And like I said, I will have directions and all of the information for you to be able to visit, because I think actually every single one of these places you're able to visit. Now, on Facebook and Instagram, you can enter to win the Halloween giveaway today. So there are a few more chances to get your name in until Halloween. So until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood host, Elise.